certainly enjoyed you saying that, Brother Merle. You know, as we was singing that song, that part of the verse came to my heart too about how I cannot tell just how you felt. And I don't know how you felt when the Lord saved your soul. It's personal, one-on-one experience with God, as we've talked about so many times. I can't tell your heart, and I can't tell how you felt when the Lord saved your soul, but I tell you what, I was thankful when the Lord brought that peace in my heart. And the only one that I know for sure about this morning is me, myself. But I tell you, I'm thankful for that, and thankful for that time and place that the Lord can take me back to and just reminisce just a little bit about soul salvation. So thankful to see each and every one this morning, and the ones that come out to be with us, and thankful to see that the Lord has kept each and every one of us safe throughout this week, and we're just thankful for this another opportunity to be back in God's house and to try to please Him, you know. Last Sunday night, I had a preaching appointment there at New Life, and I tell you what, for those of you who didn't come, you missed a wonderful service. It was certainly a wonderful, wonderful service in the Lord, and it's something that I've really been feasting on throughout this past week. And we was talking about the meat that God gives us to just feast upon. I'm glad that God gives me some to just eat upon throughout the week and pray and thank throughout the week and commune with Him. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to get to know my God a little bit more each and every day. There's a song, as what Brother Merle was saying, how it grows sweeter. There's a song in one of our hymn books that says, "Sweeter each day, His love just grows sweeter along the bright way." And it truly does, you know. I that day the Lord saved my soul, I was thankful for it. But the more closer that I get with Him, the more I walk with Him, the more I talk with Him, the sweeter that it just gets. I'm thankful for that this morning. And I'll try to hush, but we're just so thankful to be back in the house of the Lord. Before we go further in the Lord's service, we do want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us continue to be prayerful for the service, that the Lord will just bless us. Be prayerful for all our sister churches, but above all, let us be prayerful for those that are lost. Wonder at this time if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts this morning that needs to be said or done. Before we go further in this service, we would like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that they feel like needs to be said or done. If not, we're going to try to present that with what the Lord has laid on our hearts for this morning. I struggled a little bit this morning about trying to find a starting place about where the Lord might want us to start reading from. But I think whenever we went to prayer just a little while ago, the Lord made it clear. And if you would go with me, I'm going to start off in the 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to start within the 16th verse. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. Feel like before we start, we might need to bow our heads once more. So if you would with me. Most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to stand for your word. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and your scriptures this morning. And we ask that you would just bless it, Lord. Bless the reading and just please help us, Lord, as we try to stand, that you would just empty us up, Lord. And Lord, we just ask above all that you would just save those that are lost. Amen. Jeremiah 6 and 16, it first says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So we see here the prophet Jeremiah as he was trying to warn the people of Israel. He had told them that they needed to stand and see and ask for the old paths. Now, we as missionary Baptists, we like to call ourselves old-time, old-fashioned missionary Baptists. And I believe that there's a good reason why we do that, because the teachings and the doctrine has been passed down for many generations. I believe that when Jesus was even on this earth, that he had passed his teachings down to his disciples, and his disciples had passed them down to the people that was going to come after them. And I believe here we are today with the Lord's teaching. And I believe that this teaching, this old-timey teaching and way, has been passed down for several generations. I believe that's in one part of why we try to call ourselves old-time, old-fashioned missionary Baptists. You know, you could go out in this world and you could try to proclaim to be a Baptist. And I tell you, sad enough to say it, there's a whole lot of Baptists whose teaching doesn't align correctly with the Word of God. And I believe this, that everything that we do and say and preach and testify needs to be backed up by the Word of God. I even believe that with the very songs that we sing, that before we sing it, we need to look into it and make sure that it's aligned correctly with the Word of God. There was a man one time, years ago, he said, show me what a church sings and I'll show you their theology. And I didn't mean to get on all this, but we're just going to go where the Lord leads us. But there's several songs in our songbook that you don't really pay attention to it. If you don't pay attention to the words that's being said, it's out of teaching. It's outside of what God has said in His Word. Now, me, for one, I've tried my very best through the last several years to try to listen to more contemporary gospel music. And I like some of the contemporary songs that's out there. But there's several who I will not, if they even go on the radio, I will turn it off. Because there's several whose teaching does not, and what they're singing about does not align with what God has said in His Word. And it's something that we need to be on the watch for, us as God's people in His church. Something that we need to keep an eye on, because we don't want anything, that I don't want anything to be said or done that's going to hinder somebody that might be lost. And I will say this, you know, we read here how Jeremiah was trying to warn the people of Israel. And we read further in chapters, I believe it goes somewhere in chapter 30. I could be wrong, but we read how Jeremiah at one point of his of him trying to warn the children of Israel that he just got tired and just got wearied. And I believe that maybe in a depressed state physically, I don't know. But at one point he had said, I will not even speak or make mention of the Lord. Now, this world, when we go out and try to be a light and try to tell somebody about Jesus, let me tell you, it's discouraging all around. There's some people, maybe even family members, who try to kick against the prick and try to fight against the Lord. And I know it gets discouraging, but I tell you, when Jeremiah threw up his hands, he said the second they threw up his hands and he said, I'll not make mention of the Lord. He said, there was a burning in my bones that had happened. And I tell you, that burning in his bones, I believe, was the Lord trying to rekindle him just a little bit, get a little fire underneath him, a little excitement, a little joy, to just tell them of what God wants to be said. And I tell you what, folks, we might need to pray that the Lord just has a fire in our bones from time to time, that he might just stir us up, you know. But I tell you, Jeremiah here, he was telling them there what the Lord had placed on his heart. He said, stand and seek and ask for the old paths. You know, there's several teachings out there in this world. There's several, if you go out in this world, there's several plans of salvation. But if you look in the Word of God, Jesus clearly said that there's one way of salvation and one plan. And I tell you what, this the plan that Jesus had laid out, I believe that it wasn't a popular teaching with several individuals. You know what God said in His Word and what we teach as His people, it's not going to be popular with the world. But that's okay, because we're not called to please the world or serve the world. We're called to serve God and Him only. So now, speaking of this, we go in the book of Matthew. And if you look in the book of Matthew, I believe it was maybe the 6th chapter, maybe the 7th chapter. Well, here, I'll go there just so I don't get it out of line. But we read in the book of Matthew, at one point in the 7th chapter, in the 13th and 14th verses, that Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the gates, the straight gates, and the wide way. I tell you what, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's many people in this world who just want to go along with what's popular. The popular teaching, the popular opinion, the ways of the world. And I tell you what, folks, if you know, this world wants to say many things of salvation. That baptism, salvation. That repeating the prayer, salvation. That shaking a man's hand is salvation. Or just the teaching of accepting Jesus Christ. That is salvation. And broad is the way, and many there go be to walk therein. And folks, we see that happening today with these people going and following the worldly doctrines, the worldly teachings of salvation. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and he that goes to the Father must go through me. You can't find salvation in any other except Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Acts in the 4th chapter in the 12th verse that even one of the disciples, they was preaching, they said that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ alone. Now, this popular teaching, the way that the world is going, and the people of the world, how they just want to fit in with these popular teachings and opinions. I tell you what, if it's not aligned with what God says, I believe that it's of the devil and not of God. Now, if you read, well, let's just look at this. You know, we read in 2 Timothy, the second letter to Timothy that Paul was writing to him, how he said that there's going to be a great falling away, and that there's going to be teachers that have itching ears, teachers who just want to tickle the ears of congregation and of hearers. These teachers that try to tickle the ears, that have itching ears, I believe a lot of what they worry about is about how much money they can get into their pocket and about how many people they can fit in their church. I tell you, yeah, it's good to come in the Lord's house and to see a great number. But I tell you what, folks, if you're not following in line of what God says, then it's all in vain. Just because we want this great crowd of people to come in don't mean we need to stray away from the teachings and the doctrines that God has laid out for us as His people to teach and follow. I believe that there's only one gospel, that there's only one way of salvation. Paul was writing to one of the churches. He said, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one doctrine and one teaching and one way of salvation, and that being by Jesus Christ. Now, we see all throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, I believe that Jesus is preached all throughout and shown all throughout the Word of God. Now, when we go in into the book of Romans, you know, there's this teaching out there of Calvinism and predestinationism, how God has already chosen a few select people who He will save, and how Jesus came in this world and died for just a group of people. I tell you, that is 100% a devil's doctrine. Nowhere in the Bible is that being taught, and I believe that if it ever comes in behind the bookboard of a missionary Baptist church, then somebody needs to set that man down and have a little talk. We read how, you know, and I believe that in the book of Romans, how Paul was talking about being predestined and all that, but he was talking about the salvation plan of God being foreordained before mankind. Because before this world was even formed, I believe God knew that mankind would fall. God knew that Adam would partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and man would be in a sinful state. But because of that, they chose Jesus, the Lamb of God, to die for the sin of the world. That way we can have a way back to the Father. That's what the Bible clearly instructs. It's the old past. It's the teaching of God. And we need, as God's people, to stand firm on the teachings of God and not be part of this falling away that's happening. Now, you know, I was in, you know, I only lasted a semester of college. But when I was in college, I was going for a business administration degree. And in business administration, they taught us had to go heavily against false advertisement. If you're going to advertise something, be a little truth to it. Maybe be a little partial to it, but don't fully false advertise. You know, last week or the week before, but me and my wife, we were headed up to Greenwood, and on the way back, we saw this sign that said, Montana Mike's best steak on I-65, first thing that came to my mind was, that's nothing but false advertisements. You know, this devil, the devil that we fight against, he false advertises a whole lot of things. The Bible says in the book of John that he is the liar and the father of it. He false advertises a lot of things. As a matter of fact, we can read one of those false advertisements in the book of Genesis whenever he went to Eve and tried to get her to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve said, well, no, if the Lord said, if I eat it, then we will die. Or if we eat it, then we will die. But the devil said, oh, no, if you eat it, you will not die, but you'll be like gods, knowing both good and evil. And because of that, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that the fruit, the tree, looked good into Eve's eyes. I tell you what, it might look good to our eyes. It might look like it's going to please the flesh. But just because we think it's okay does not mean it is okay in the eyes of God. We read in the book of Proverbs, I believe it's the 14th chapter and the 12th verse there, how Solomon was writing, and he had said that there's a way which seems right unto a man, but at the end of the way thereof are the ways of death. This teaching that the world gives, accepting Christ, take a handshake, repeat a prayer, baptism, whatever. All that is just a bunch of false advertisement that the devil puts out so that way there could be a bunch more people to go down that broad road of destruction. And that's what Jesus said, that road, that broad road, that broad way that people walk on, that many therein will follow on, it will lead to nothing but destruction. And what is hell? The devil's hell is where a bunch of destruction happens. We read how in the 16th chapter of Luke, I want to say this. I believe hell was not made for mankind, but hell was made for the devil and his angels and his followers. How he had tried to rise up and go against God in the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says that God had cut him down and he had took about a third of the stars with him and took him down into a fiery pit. And I tell you, hell was not made for us, but for the devil himself. But I tell you, man puts himself there in that devil's hell. He does. God has offered this free way of salvation through and by Jesus Christ, where the debt of sin is already paid. But yet, all this advertisement that goes around, many people go on that broad road that leads to destruction, and at the end of the way thereof, it's going to be a way of death. And we read in the 16th chapter of Luke about the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man woke his eyes up in hell one day, and he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And I believe that the Bible said that he had thirsted for water there. I believe this, that hell is where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that the Bible says, it's where the fire never quenches and the worm dieth not. But I believe that there's a few more other torments that goes along with that. Just as so with the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man looked up and saw Lazarus there in paradise. I believe that there in the devil's hell, there's a bunch full of people right now that's looking up and seeing people there in paradise, having this fiery torment, thirsting for water. And folks, they ain't ever going to get that water. They ain't ever going to get that water. You know, we read how that rich man, he was so worried about his family members here on earth. Let me tell you, I believe that there is a big prayer meeting going on right now in the devil's hell. The Bible says that God will turn a deaf ear unto them. There's a big prayer meeting going on right now. And I believe that they're praying right now. And I believe they're asking that there will just be somebody, as the rich men did, there'd be somebody to just go and tell their family members about that awful place. And I believe this, as long as as God allows us to live and as He allows preachers to continue preaching, there will continue to be warning signs everywhere. And I truly believe that. If we preach what God instructs us in His Word, there will be warning signs everywhere for those that are lost and in sin. But folks, I tell you, nobody is going to grab you by the arm and force you to come down this altar and pray and seek God for salvation. It's got to be a want to. Got to be a desire somewhere in the heart to be saved by His grace. We can pray for conviction. We can do this and do that. But it's got to start with a want to. Just like with the church, I could preach to you till I'm blue in the face that you got to follow the Spirit of the Lord. But until you want to, then nothing's going to change. We read how this prophet Jeremiah was warning people about this old path that they should seek. He said that this old path that they should seek, he said that you will find rest for your souls. I tell you, you know, I remember being lost and separated from God. There was just this trouble in my heart. It was troubling me, and it was even to the point that I couldn't even sleep because I was just so worried. I was in this restless state. I was just so worried about if I had died, I'd wake up and go to a devil's hell. And I tell you, whenever I went and I sought after God and the Lord saved my soul, I found rest for my soul. I found rest. I was finally able to go to sleep that night without a care in this world about what's going to happen. Just like that song says, my God is real. My God is real. I'm thankful to know today that the God that we preach about and the God that we serve, He is real. And I'm thankful, as what one of the songs in the hymn book says, how it says, I know that I'm saved. I'm glad that I am able to know that I'm saved by His grace. Now, we go on and we also read, you know, how Jeremiah was telling them to seek it and ask for the old paths. We read in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter how Jesus was preaching there and He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. We read in the book of Revelation, I believe it's the 19th chapter of Revelation, how John the Revelator is writing. He said, the Spirit and the Bride, they both say, come. Come. Come seek the Lord. Come find rest for your souls. You know that word come, C-O-M-E. You know what it stands for? I believe that God doesn't exclude anybody from them coming to Him. You know, C-O-M-E, come. You know, when He said, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and who the Spirit and Bride say, come. C-O-M-E, you know what? He said, the children need to come, the old folks need to come, the middle aged need to come, and if not anything else, every single person and individual on the face of this earth needs to come and find rest for their weary and troubled soul. I'm glad that I was able to come to the Lord one day. And you know, I don't just serve the Lord because I have to serve the Lord. I want to get that straight. I don't serve the Lord because I have to serve the Lord. I don't preach because I have to preach. I don't pastor a church because I have to pastor a church. I serve the Lord and I preach and I pastor because I want to serve the Lord. Because ever since He saved my soul, I feel indebted for the rest of my life to just serve Him with the fullness and the fullness of my heart. Because it's a debt that none of us can ever repay. And I tell you what, I believe sometimes we need to get to a point, you know, we say God so loved this world and he did, and he died for everybody and he did. But sometimes it needs to get to a point that God didn't just die, that Jesus didn't just die for the world, but he died for me. He died for me. He died for you. He died for every single individual. It comes to a point, people call it selfishness. Call it selfishness. I believe that it has to come to a point of trying to be personal with God. You know, I tell you what, I was thinking about this the other night. We went to Hog Creek for their Wednesday night service. I was thinking about this. You know, somebody had mentioned the word reminiscing, you know, and how you just think back about all the good things that's happened to your life, you know. Me and my wife, from time to time, we'll be in the car, we'll be at home, and we'll just reminisce about how we met and about where we got engaged at and about our wedding day, you know. We just sit back and we just reminisce about these things. But sometimes I love it when the Lord comes on the scene and me and him just start reminiscing and thinking back to the day there on that mourner's bench at Pleasant Grove Church that God had reached down from heaven and saved my soul. I'm thankful that I go back and reminisce about that. You know, sometimes, you know, when we sing these songs and the Spirit gets in and it just starts, the Lord just starts flooding my soul. Sometimes I just might look foolish, and sometimes I might just lose the way, that way that I'm acting sometimes. But that's okay. Let people think it's foolishness, because I believe that it's right and it's proper how when the Lord comes on the scene for us to praise him however he needs to be praised. The Bible says clearly in the book of Psalms, I believe... You know, when we talked about the book of Psalms in Sunday school this morning, throughout the book of Psalms, you see, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, sing praises to the Lord, shout praises to the Lord, testify for his saving goodness, praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm thankful that I have something to praise the Lord about. And if you're saved by the grace of God, then you have something to praise the Lord about as well. The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 2, that let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has been redeemed from the hands of the enemy. We have something to say so. We got something to praise the Lord about. We got something to laugh about and shout about from time to time. And folks, I tell you, if the Lord ever stirs your heart, you know, and you just got something, you just need to let it out somehow, let me tell you what, I love it when people shout. Oh, I really do. I love it when people shout. And I love services. But it seems like everybody in the congregation just stands up and just testifies of the Lord's saving goodness. I love those services. Sometimes it just causes me to bubble up inside. It causes me to just want to jump and jump for joy and swing from the chandeliers, I guess. But I tell you what, I'm glad that from time to time when the Lord moves, that the word of the Lord has its free course. And if we want to see anything, if we want to see people seek the old paths, we need to let the Word of God have its free course. Sing a song. Praise the Lord. Maybe just thank Him for meeting you in the car while driving to work this week. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I believe that there is people that while they're walking the broad road to destruction, I believe that there is still some people walking along, take a step back and try to seek and ask for the old paths. I believe there's people who while they're walking that, they go along and they try to ask about the old paths. And God needs people to stand there telling them about the old paths. About how it's not a man that can shake your hand or repeating a prayer, or being baptized, or just accepting Christ. But it's about being brokenhearted and having a crushed spirit, going to God on bended in a bended knee way. You know, we say bended knees, the knee right way. I tell you what, you don't have to just be knee bent. You could just be sitting in your pew. You got to make an altar within your heart. That's all that God asks. Now, we see in that 17th verse, 6th chapter of Jeremiah, he said that I've set watchmen over you. Church, saved individuals, we are that watchman. We are the ones that needs to watch, that needs to be careful about what's being taught, that needs to watch for somebody who's just struggling and seeking after those old paths. We need to watch. When it seems like things are going well in the church and we think nothing can go wrong, that's when Satan will try his best to creep in. We need to watch over that. Let us follow the Lord this morning. You know, I was thinking about this last night as I was trying to study and pray. You know, we read in the Bible how it says that Jesus, you know, it's mentioned many a times that he is a lamb and the Lamb of God. But it's also mentioned from place to place that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's a song that says the King is coming. One of these days, the King is coming. And you need to be ready for that. We read how in the book of Revelation, how when Jesus does come back, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. I tell you what, by that point, it'd be too late to seek after your salvation. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and I truly believe that. Because then the King will be right there. And nobody, I believe nobody's going to question who he is. Everybody will know. Brother Danny, if you get us a song, let us all stand and sing this morning. Let us all follow the Lord. You might be lost and separated from God this morning. You might feel a knocking on your heart to seek the old paths and to find rest for your soul. This altar is open, but you don't. This altar is open, and I tell you, we got a whole room full of people who will sit around and pray with you.
Turn to page 111. I want to do